everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into Advertising Week's Great Minds, People and Culture podcast. I'm your host, Brenna Kinsey, Executive Vice President of Advertising Week and Emerald. Welcome, everybody. Today's guest is Brad Sims. Brad founded Gale in 2014 with a vision to unite talented individuals and forward-thinking clients to create exceptional work. His passion for collaboration drives the realization of creative ideas, innovative strategies, and transformative business models. Under his leadership, Gale has grown into one of the most respected and awarded global agencies. And at a time when many organizations are scaling back on HR investments, Gale is taking a different approach by doubling down on training and development initiatives. We'll explore the motivations behind this decision and the long-term benefits Brad sees for his organization and talent. Hey, Brad, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's good to see you again.
Before we dive into the specifics of Gale's training and development initiatives, I'd love to hear about your journey as both the founder and CEO of Gale. What inspired you to start Gale, and how has your experiences in your career shaped your vision and approach to leadership?
You know, I think it's a question that actually gets right to what we're going to talk about today. You know, one of the founding ideas was around Gale was really simple. It was, is the power of the team more impactful in driving a business than the power of the brand of the business? I mean, there's a number of reasons why we started Gale, but one of them was this question, which is, if you had an unbelievable team, if you invested in that team, if you made it a priority, is an outcome of that from a services perspective, growth of the business. I mean, it was an interesting idea because in my past, I'd worked at unbelievable organizations that just had so much brand to them. So the question was, as a services focused organization, how much does brand play in and how much did team play in? And so, you know, one of the reasons we started Gale was just that exploration. You know, we wanted to show up every day, enjoy working with each other, high performance team, but also learn from each other. And we thought if we created that environment, which honestly, as you know, is one of the things you can control in the services space, would the outcomes be growth and expansion and more opportunities for our people? And so, you know, when we chatted and an opportunity to come on and talk to you, it's something that I'm super passionate about. And what does that cube look like that produces that an unbelievable environment for folks to work in? And it there's so many facets to it. And organizational development, learning and development is obviously core to that.
And during a time where many organizations are scaling back on HR initiatives and investments, Gale is actually doubling down on training and development. You have committed to $1 million towards developing your talent, which is a big investment. What motivated you to reach this decision? And what do you think will be the long-term benefits for your organization?
Well, if you think about your people at a firm like Gale, they are essentially your IP, your assets, your engine. You know, one of the things in the decisions that we had at the very first day of Gale is we never call our people resources. We call them people because, frankly, that's what they are. And so you have a choice point to make, I think, as someone leading an organization of unbelievable people, which is, am I going to show up every day and think about cost management? Or am I going to show up every day and try to create an environment for growth? People growth, client growth, values growth, which in theory will lead to agency growth. And I think that a lot of organizations right now, due to the complicated structure in which marketing services firms exist, a whole different podcast for a whole different time, really show up with a focus of cost containment. And when you show up with a mindset of cost containment, that drives behaviors like the ones you're talking about, which is how do we manage cost? Where can we cut some operational? How can we cut some quote unquote overhead? Is there some savings? You show up every day with a mindset of growth, people growth, client growth, values growth, business growth. It brings a different lens. And then if you believe that you're in the business of unbelievable humans that are your IP and your assets, if you believe that and you show up every day with a focus on growth, it's a super easy equation. Why would I want to be reducing my investment in the absolute thing that drives the growth of my business, which are my humans? Like, it just, I can't even piece those two components together. That equation, that 1 + 1 does not equal 2 for me. And so I think it's a mindset, but it's a belief. You have to believe if you create an environment with unbelievable people, the outcomes will be there. If you don't believe it, you're always looking for ways to reduce cost. I don't show up with a mindset of cost containment around our people ever. I haven't done it in 10 years at Gale. And frankly, I haven't done it in 20 years of my career, and I'm not going to start. So, and I think the results have proven out that the framework we bring to the table when we think about our people is the right framework.
Thinking about industry and the turnover numbers being anywhere between 25 to 30, which is a significant portion of your workforce leaving every single year, do you think your commitment to investing in your people is going to help with that turnover, or has it already? And have you seen the results of that?
We know it does. We see it in the numbers. You know, I got invited down to speak at a conference in Australia and Sydney in November, and that they wanted me to come to talk about the work and the outputs and all the awards and all the great stuff we're doing for clients. But I showed up and I talked about how as agency leaders, because the conference was agency leaders, I turned up to talk about how as agency leaders, we have a responsibility to run a good business. We have no opportunity to do great work and transform our clients' business and accelerate their growth if we can't run a good business on our side. And core to running a good business is retaining our humans. This idea that it's okay to be average, where a quarter of your humans, which, as I said, are your IP, they are your assets, they are your growth engines, walk out the door every year. Just put that into context. Let's say you're a big box retailer and you're like, every year I'm going to close a quarter of my stores and have to reopen a quarter of my stores. That's a not sustainable business. Like, you're like, not, imagine you're a QSR. You're like, I'm closing a quarter of my locations, reopen, like a hotel, like, it doesn't actually work. But in the agency space, in the services space, for some reason, we've become okay with that. It's just like accepted. Who wants to be average? At Gale, you know, we're more in the 12 to 14% zone. And frankly, when we look at this year, we're even lower than that. And I think it's a ton of different things that we do. Some of it's cyclical. It's not all. It's, you know, I don't want to say it's everything we do. Some of it's cyclical. Some of it's economy. Some of it's the jobs out there. But there's no doubt that it contributes. And I think it contributes in an over-weighted way. And keeping our humans around is so epically important to so many aspects of our business. And investing in them, I think is one of the core ways in which you keep those retention numbers on the far, far low side of the industry.
Love that. Thank you for sharing that. Can you share a little bit about what specific areas of training and development your $1 million investment is going to prioritize and focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. But before I do that, and I'm going to answer that question, I just want to take one kind of circle towards that. I think one of the mistakes that I've seen, and I've done a lot of reflection over the last 10 years as we've entered our anniversary in the last few weeks at Gale about some of the things that we decided to do. And we are going to spend in excess of $1 million this year on training and development. But the thing that I believe to be true, and I do see this, is you have to have set the foundation to allow that to be successful. And I think one of the things we've done at Gale, which I think allows us to get to that, and I will talk about exactly where we're investing that, is having an infrastructure around goals and objectives, having a framework in which you set those goals and objectives so they do not end up in a haphazard way. We call that a competency matrix at Gale. Having a team of coaches that coach your folks through those goals and objectives and are touching base with your humans at your agency or at your services firm, along with managers. When you've established that, then doubling down on training and development makes sense. Else, you're just throwing good money after bad, frankly, because you don't have the infrastructure to understand where do we put it and where do we not. One of the things we found last year in our engagement survey, which is a survey, anonymous survey we run across all employees every single year, is a real desire, not just for training and development, but for Gale-specific training and development. One of the things we heard in that survey in our 2022 survey, which we got in 2023, was folks felt like they could go out and do a media buying course here. They could do a HBR digital marketing transformation course here. But it was how does Gale put a spin on that? One of the things we did in 2023, and we're continuing in 2024, was we stood up our own learning management system. We actually moved one of our high potential leaders over, Julia, to run it. And we created over 40 Gale training courses across everything we do, including learning paths that people could sign up for that tied specific courses together. That's a big investment for us because it takes generic training, which we do, and actually customizes it for how Gale shows up and delivers with clients. We absolutely double down on core skills training, which I think of as really functional to the domains. We have 19 domains at Gale, everything from PR and earned and social to storytelling to media buying. We've doubled down also on kind of what we would call just core skills. Just like skills training, which is presentation, negotiation. You know, how do you reduce ideas? You know, how do you have frankly conversations that are conflict based? How do you make those productive? And then the other thing we do is we have a big investment in our Gale training courses. So when you think about it, it's like foundational courses you can get in the market. Kind of core skills training around just like, you know, core skills you need to be in the services agency. And I'm really passionate about those. You know, one of the things we're really investing in this year is ensuring that everyone can do large room presentations. I just think storytelling is such a core skill. And so on that kind of non-functional, but kind of more skills-based presentation, something. And then on top of that, the Gale component. And when you put on top of that our organizational development organization, you know, that starts to make up the components of our investment in organizational development and training and learning.
You also have a media accelerator program. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that fits into your overall vision of developing talent?
Yeah, it started with a program which we called the Graduate Development Program, the GDP. And the idea with that was, you know, at Gale, we really value diverse thinking and frankly, from backgrounds that aren't traditionally marketing. You know, and I know that the marketing industry is tragically insulated. Sometimes people move between organizations and organizations. Back in the day, about 7 years ago, we had this idea, which was, what if we created a program that was a year-long program that allowed us to go out and offer a year-long training for folks that didn't have marketing backgrounds, civil engineers, folks that had a commerce background, folks that were chemists, but thought they were interested. We bring them in and we basically put them through 4 3-month rotations of their selection. They can do everything from client services to strategy to data analytics to earned. And at the end of that, if they're interested and we're interested, we extend them a job. The idea of the media accelerator was just moving that forward in the media space. And the reason is media has become so complicated in the agency space. You know, back 40 years ago, it was an out-of-home, a TV ad, a radio ad, maybe a newspaper ad. Now there's thousands. So media has almost become like this really complicated domain. One of the things we also learned at Gale, when I talk about the Gale-specific way in which we do things, is how we approach media. It's not unique, but a little different. And so what we figured we would do, and we did, is we went out and hired a whole bunch of folks that frankly had diverse backgrounds. And we taught them how to think about not only the foundational components of media, how do you buy, what's a biddable system, how do you negotiate, but also how Gale approaches it, which is integrated storytelling, it's core to creative. And that has been tremendously successful for us. Our graduate development program and our Media Accelerator program have been really, really successful for us. And it goes to diverse perspectives, make integrated thinking better. And how do you provide an opportunity for folks that maybe don't have a marketing background and can't crack into that very echo chambery existence of the marketing agency space that we all know exists, and give them an opportunity to come and contribute? And those two programs have been really impactful for us. And we've learned so much in running them around the structure, around the oversight that's needed, around how you enable a great experience. It's something I'm really proud of the team has done. And I think, you know, also, as I said, not unique, but when you start to add all of these things up, you know, I think we start to enter a little bit of a zone where there's not many other agencies out there that are doing all of this.
Over the years, Gale has invested in people specific to working on organizational development. I know you've had career coaches. You mentioned that you had someone who was leading the effort for the Gale learning platform. What does that structure look like? Is that a team within HR, or is that a different team? How do you structurize that team who oversees all of these efforts?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I mean, one of the things that we realized early on is that in the people domain at Gale, there are various different functions that need to exist. HR, which has traditionally been, you know, what we've called that people domain, has a place, but also has become just so heavy, and rightfully so, with, I don't want to use the word administration, but there's a lot of administration. There's also, frankly, a lot of like employee welfare that HR now has to manage through. And it's all the right things to do, but there's a lot of legislation, there's a lot of regulation, and HR is important in managing that, not only for the wellness of our employees, but for the wellness of the agency. The challenge in that is sometimes our employees and our humans at Gale, they view that as administrative. And so back about 8 years ago, we hired our first, what we call career coach. And it's under the people domain, but it operates in a separate zone. And the idea of that career coach is an independent advisor for our humans at Gale. They can have conversations with our people at Gale that frankly a manager and even HR can't have, because they are at our arm's length. They can be in conversations that maybe that employee, that human at Gale doesn't want to bring to the HR function. They can really, and they have the authority to coach in a non-biased way that person's career. And if it's time, frankly, for them to leave Gale because the opportunities they want are not available, let's make sure that we're celebrating that and making that a great experience for them and frankly for us. And so we now have, I think, 8 of these career coaches, and they operate globally for us, and they are that independent advisory to our humans. You know, sometimes, and it happens, I'm sure, folks will come to them and be like, I want to be this and this and this. And they're like, you completely are disconnected from reality. That is not where you're, like, that has to happen sometimes. That function can have that, or they can understand the situation and help that person navigate. They can make sure their goals and objectives are sharp. And they operate in this independent bubble under the people function, but not HR. And I think that is a big investment that we've made. They own the competency matrix, and they really own that honest conversation from an organizational development and learning perspective with our people at Gale. And I think that investment that creates that give and take with our employees, and they, if they have an HR question, there's an HR function they can go to, totally also available, I think, is something that we also have invested in and put under that bucket. And I think it creates a great environment for our humans at Gale. I think it's differentiated. And honestly, it was one of, I think, the things that really helped us manage through, you know, the pandemic, where there was a lot of like just uncertainty, and folks wanted to be talking to folks, and sometimes they didn't want an HR answer. And in that function, I think helped a lot of our humans manage through that. So it's just one of those other things I think we've done that are part of that kind of mosaic when we think about how we create a great culture at Gale.
Thank you for making that distinction of what HR is mostly focused on, and the fact that not only is it a bandwidth issue, but in order to have a thoughtful, intentional approach, which is the one you're having, you have to have dedicated people who are doing this, so that one, they're able to build trust with the employees with that function alone, and also so that HR has the ability to focus on things that are administrative, compliance, wellness, employee relations based.
The other thing you would know is that the background of those two types of humans are very different. Like when you look at how you find someone that has an applied, so not an academic, but an applied organizational development background, right? They come with a different toolkit of not only learning from a structured perspective, but learning from an unstructured perspective, than frankly some of our folks that are most impactful on our HR side that come from a completely different background. I think the idea that humans in services firms are like single functions and they just need like an HR, like I think that is naive. And so I think when you look at creating an environment for our people at Gale, you have to realize that their needs are diverse, and therefore your organization to support them needs to be diverse also, and the backgrounds that those folks come from needs to be diverse. And so I think that is also, you know, a reason why this makes so much sense.
And how do you measure the impact that your training and development programs have on the employee engagement and talent development within your agency?
So, I mean, we do a variety of things. I talked about the engagement survey that we do. And, you know, we just actually finished our 2023 engagement survey and the readout of the 2023 engagement survey, which happens in 2024. So we do the survey in Q1 of the year after, and it's an anonymous survey that, you know, folks filled out. So, you know, we have about 550 people fill this thing out, and there's about 70 questions. And it's longitudinal, which means we've been asking the same 70 questions all the way back to 2015. And I showed when I did the presentation to the agency, I could show them the trends over the years, which was really interesting. We could see the questions that move. We can see what we're doing or not. There's also 1,200 open questions that are open comments that folks fill out. So one of the ways we measure is through the engagement survey. There's a few other ways though, right? One is attrition, which we talked about, which I think is important. But there's kind of this other way that I think is probably quantifiable, but is more subjective, which is teams that work together over time develop efficiencies. They develop an understanding of each other's, you know, a media planner is not a media planner. A media planner on one account is operating in a slightly different way than another account. A creative director is not a creative director. One creative director has some interests here, some interests there. And our ability to retain our folks and create epic efficiency in delivery, remember what I talked about, which is our assets and our IP, our people, but there's also our teams. That team dynamic sometimes is completely, I think, underappreciated. So I can go to the engagement score and I can give you a very quantitative score, and I can read all of those comments and I can give you a whole bunch of qualitative. I can go to my attrition and I can give you that number and I can say, that's great. And let me tell you how much it costs to hire someone and all of that. But there is this kind of unmeasured efficiency and this unmeasured kind of like camaraderie and this unmeasured kind of like social dynamic that happens when teams are working together it's a little bit more difficult to measure. When you have high engagement and you have low attrition, that happens. And frankly, for us at Gale, that's when innovation starts to happen. That's when we really start to add new capabilities. There's a comfort with those teams. All of those teams are slightly differently shaped at Gale because of the variety of things we do. But it's one of our kind of differentiators that's hard to put down to an engagement score number or attrition number, but you feel it in the agency. And it's something that for me, is probably the easiest component of a business case, even though it's the hardest part to put a number to.
Since you mentioned the business case, how do you suggest that people who are listening who need to make the case for why learning and development has to be a priority for a company, what do you think, how do you think they should approach making that case to the stakeholders or the decision makers?
I mean, look, if you're in one of the traditional marketing structures out there, I think there's an easy 2x2. I'm a 2x2 thinker that you can get to. One is the cost of attrition. So not only the cost of hiring new humans, but the cost of someone giving you 3 weeks notice, but it takes 9 weeks to hire someone. So there's just a cost on that. The other thing I think that sometimes we don't appreciate is the cost of our employees or the value of our employees growing. At Gale, one of the things we do, I talked about the competency matrix, is we promote on merit, not on open roles. And so what happens is you have this 2x2, where along one axis, you're retaining folks. So you're basically not missing, frankly, just to talk about it, billable revenue. Well, you don't have humans and you don't have to pay money to bring someone in. That's very easy. The other thing is, what's the value to actually promoting people? Because when you retain people, you actually grow them and they actually become more valuable to you, whether that is more valuable and they can manage team members, you can build them out, they contribute more revenue, whatever it is. And so for me, if you start to look at that and you look at your attrition number and you talk and you look at your promotion number, the business case becomes so easy. It becomes so easy. Like it's almost a no-brainer. And if you're operating right now in a 23-22% turnover attrition benchmark, and you start to model that down into even the 17%, that 5 points, that'll give you that will show you the path that you need in order to make that investment. If that's the environment you're in, I think one of the things though that I've talked a lot about is there's a lot of soft reasons to do it that are a little tougher to put into an Excel. But if you're in a spot in a dynamic in an organization in which you need to make that Excel, those two axes usually give you some pretty solid footing to make that case.
Thank you. Those are great tips. And as a leader, how do you personally prioritize and champion a culture of continuous learning so that your organization is aware that this is the vision you have for your people's growth? And also, how do you, as a CEO and a founder, continue to learn and grow personally?
Well, one of the things that we're very keen on at Gale is our core values. And the values have been the same values since we started the agency. I know you and I have chatted about our values and how much I focused on them in the past. And I view the values and the ownership of that as like one of my core responsibilities as the CEO. And so when I think about creating that environment for learning, it's just aligned with our values. Our values speak to investing in people, to everyone matters, to passion is not optional, to masters of the craft. For me, you join Gale and you go through a values interview. You see the values in the pre-screen with the recruiter. And you're attracted to those values. Living up to those values on our side is about investing in that learning and development. And so for me, the learning and the development is an outcome of the fact that I'm so focused on ensuring that as an organization, as an agency, we are living those values. We are not always perfect. I say that all the time. We make some mistakes, but the values allow us to correct very, very quickly because there's no debating on those values. And so if we believe in those values, we believe in our people. We believe in creating an environment for hiring, mentoring, and growing unbelievable talent, and organizational development is a cornerstone to that. There's just no way around it. From my perspective as a CEO, one of the things I say out there is I'm an okay CEO, but I'm a pretty good strategist. And one of the things that I say to folks all the time is, I get the most personal enjoyment out of actually delivering work. So I actually work on a number of our clients. Like I'm in the business working on it, whether I'm the lead strategist or frankly, whether I'm just one of the strategists. What that allows me to do is back to that original idea of Gale, which is I'm learning from like folks that are, just out of school or we brought into the graduate development program, and they're teaching me about new media types, new audiences, new insights. I'm learning from folks about how to buy local radio. I'm learning from our media team about reach curves and, you know, the math below that. I'm talking to our data science team. So the way I stay kind of tuned in is by actually delivering work. I think one of the things I see in the services space is a bad habit is we put a lot of org levels in between the senior folks and the folks doing the work. And then ultimately you get to a spot where you're just becoming a big administrator. And I believe there's a new way to build an agency, which is you can spread that administration out over a variety of leaders and still be just as effective at it. And all of those leaders can roll up their sleeves and do some work, which keeps them much more connected, A, to our people, and B, learning, which means you don't lose the connection to the flow of whatever you're doing at whatever your firm is, whatever service you're providing. And so for me, doing the work is how I stay connected and learning. And waking up every day and thinking about our values makes it easy to prioritize not only our people, but learning, development, and that entire kind of function at Gale.
You mentioned that you're learning alongside people, including ones who are entering the job market, who are straight out of college. I think you had mentioned earlier, I read it in a post or an article, that teenagers are actually shaping consumerism right now because of social media. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because I think that's so obviously so true, but also very interesting.
You know, I'll go back to a piece of work that we won, which is public, which is we won the cotton category work as their strategy and creative agency of record back in Q4 of 2023. And the core insight that allowed us to shape the strategic platform that we brought in that pitch came from two of our junior strategists, frankly, that had just come out of school. They didn't have to come out of school, but they just came out of school. And they were connected to the culture of fashion and the trends in fashion in a way that there was just, we were just like not even close to that. Now they aren't in that zone, which we believe that culture starts with that 14 to 19 year old female. And I think we just issued a paper that actually proved that out through a pretty comprehensive survey. But these two folks that I was working with brought the core insight into that segment that shaped the entire pitch that actually allowed us to win that business. Frankly, if we as an organization weren't open to bringing them in, to listening to, I mean, I remember the presentation when they came into my office, they had these slides. I said, shut the slides up. Just tell me about what's going on. And just listening to how they were describing the trends, the Get Ready With Me, how people were relating to cotton, how people were relating to polyester, the sheen dynamic. I was like, it's there. And they basically just shared it with us. And we were like, it's there. But if we had never A, asked them to do some of that research, B, brought them into the room, and then C, just let them share, because everyone matters and it's about collaborating. Frankly, we would never have come up with a platform. I don't think we would ever have won that work. For me, that's a great example of our values at work. It's also an example of, I was the lead strategist on that pitch, but you know, it wasn't my idea that formed up our brand platform that we brought. And you know, credit to where credit is due. If we weren't willing to not only engage with those unbelievable humans at Gale, but then give them a seat at the table, a legitimate seat at the table, not like, just send us the deck and I'll review it on a Friday night while I'm doing 20 other. No, come and talk to us, like educate us. We would never have won that pitch. And for me, that's just one of dozens of stories of collaborating and learning from folks at Gale that get me fired up. As you can tell, I'm totally fired up about that. And they're still working on the business right now, and we're doing great work.
Love that. I have two tactical questions before we wrap up. One, because I already know your answer, but I want the listeners to hear it. And the other one is related to engagement surveys. You talked about having implemented them for a very long time. I see that a lot of companies struggle with engagement surveys because employees don't trust to participate in them. How do you build trust so that people are actually giving that feedback?
We actually hit that hurdle maybe in 2027, 2028, where there was a lot of questions, which is this actually anonymous or are you tracking? I think one of the things that helped us get over that was that business coach team that really does work as an advisor in an independent way. You know, I think that if you're going to say that, you have to back that up. And so Kevin, who runs that team right now, you know, is part of the people organization. I chat with Kevin once a quarter, but I never ask for details. I'm asking for themes. We never ask him or his team to breach their confidentiality. And so I think building that trust takes time because people and humans are skeptical by nature. And so we're going to be skeptical. I think you have to earn that trust, and I think you have to keep at it. So even in 2027, 2028, where there was a lot of like, is this anonymous? Is this not anonymous? You know, we sat down and talked to folks about how we're combining domains to ensure that the groups are large enough. So we can't understand, you know, if a domain has only four people in it. We were combining locations when we were still growing to ensure that we had, you know, enough folks so that we couldn't identify. And we were making sure that we were putting some very intentional structure in place to support and prove out that it is an anonymous survey. For us, that's really important. You know, and I think that I would love to get that that last like 80 or 90 people at Gale to fill it out. But, you know, getting 84, 85% of folks to fill out the engagement survey and getting 1,200 open text comments, you know, I think that's statistically significant. And so, you know, you have to earn the right, I think, is the thing. And when you make a mistake, because you're always making mistakes because we're human, you got to own it. And you have to commit to do better. And you have to provide transparency around that. I think that's key.
Thank you. And my other tactical question is around return to office post-COVID. What has the strategy been for Gale?
We are at a 3-day a week. You know, my personal perspective is, you know, I don't think we're ever going to go back to 5 days. But honestly, for me, that makes me sad. And the reason it makes me sad is not because I don't appreciate the work-life balance. I totally do. And, you know, as a leader in a moment of time in which a lot of norms and frankly, a lot of balance and the way people recharge is shifting, you need to be open and aware to that. And we need to be progressive. The reason it makes me sad, though, is because when I look back at my career and I look back at the opportunities that I've been afforded, I've been very fortunate with some of those opportunities. There's no way I would have been here in a 3-day week environment. Like, I just know myself. Like, I know Brad at 26. And so I'm not projecting that on a 26-year-old today, and I'm not trying to create an age conversation. But Brad at 26 needed 5 days in the office. I needed that mentorship and that guidance. I needed that learning. I needed to be able to turn around without booking. And so for me, you know, we've even seen it in some of the career progression when we were in the COVID moment where everyone else's priorities were in other spots and they rightfully should have been. We saw a slowing down in our promotions because we're measured against a competency matrix. So it's very quantitative. That being said, I think, you know, there's a different balance and folks are prioritizing different things. And, you know, I think one of the things that we are super open to and the reason we ask folks to do goals and objectives is there's going to be moments in your arc as a human, an employee, in which frankly, work is not the most important thing for the next few years. And that's completely fine. Set your goals and objectives appropriately. We're in an environment in which we're totally open to that. If work is an environment for you in that 2 to 3 years, something you're interested in, set your goals and objectives around that. 3 days a week is our current environment, and we have pretty high compliance. We've just actually done a huge audit on it, and we are open to 5 days a week. I mean, there are some people that are in our offices 5 days a week. There are some people that are four. There are some people that are three. And one of the things we do that I think is really innovative is if you achieve that 3 days a week over the handful of months, we actually give you the ability to work remotely for an entire month. throughout the year. So if you are someone that wants to go to your cottage in August, or you want to go hang out in Costa Rica in January, you know, we just ask that you hit those 3 days a week throughout the year. And then that affords you basically 12 flex days, which gives you basically the ability to take a month and work remotely. And we're open to that. That for us is that balance that we try to get to, which is how can we have folks in the office, which is core to driving our innovation acceleration, core to driving what I think is their growth in the work environment, but allow folks to recharge, understand that it's a new dynamic, and give folks the ability to work remotely or use those days however they want. We think that's an innovative policy, and we're kind of keeping our mind open around, you know, how to keep that evolving, to keep it as something that balances what's great for our humans and frankly what's great for our business, because we do have to balance both of those things.
I love that. I really love the program you set with the flexibility of working from wherever you want. But I also appreciate the distinction you made about why it makes you sad, because I think a lot of the times the narrative is that you want people in the office because you don't trust that they're not doing the work. And that's not the case for you. You just feel sad for them because they don't have the ability to get that mentorship, that organic conversation in the hallways, the ability to be able to turn around and ask a question in that moment, 5 days out of the week, which for you was critical to your growth and where you are today.
The other thing as humans, I just say this, the other thing as humans, I think a lot of folks at Gale thrive on learning from other domains, and those happen really in kind of organic moments in the office. The thing that I think the Teams environment of the pandemic, if we just focus on the work aspect and not the human aspect of it, is you only book team meetings with people you're working with. It created a very insular view. And maybe efficient, but very insular, because very few people would be like, I'm going to book a random meeting with someone I don't know in another domain to have a conversation that, frankly, I'm going to try to replicate if I'm standing in the, like, no one said that. Like, that's like, it's, and I know there were virtual coffees and all of that, but like, but there's just something about humans interacting in kind of an impromptu, non-organized way that I think is magic. But I think we've got the right balance right now, and I'm happy with where we're at.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all of your insights. And as we wrap up, what advice would you give to anyone that's listening that is potentially targeting people programs as a cost-cutting measure?
The only thing that matters is people in your organization. It's the only thing that matters. And so you can't cut your way to the outcomes you want. You just can't. Whether those outcomes are, you know, another office, more clients, better work, a great culture, the only asset we have is our humans. And so, you know, invest in the thing that helps you deliver the results you want. And for me, such an easy decision.
Thank you so much, Brad. So nice seeing you.
It was great to chat with you again. And thank you for inviting me to chat about obviously a topic that I am very passionate about.